Welcome back to Rome Boys. On this episode, we continue our faith formation videos with Holy Spirit.
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
The ghost.
Holy fire. The Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit, when we talk about him, what's the first place we always think of?
Him?
Spirit, right?
It?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. I think Pentecost. Pentecost is probably the... You know, like when the Holy Spirit came down in tongues of fire? Yeah.
Yeah, distinct. I can't fathom the whole tongues of fire.
Yes, yeah.
I see a tongue big? On fire.
Yeah, this tongue? Like, yeah. What is it? Yeah. How big is it? How, you know, elaborate? And it's over their heads like I'm losing my hair. Like, you know, is that burning? You know,
well, whenever you leave the door open at my grandma's house, you know, you get that tongue of fire from her.
Watch out. Or the refrigerator.
Shut the door. Shut the front door.
Well, let's look at Acts chapter 2, and we'll read the first four verses. With the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. So this is the apostles and Mary. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind. So winds are first a sign of the Holy Spirit. And it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as a fire, so fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. So they specifically each had the Holy Spirit coming to them individually. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. So tongues. Have you seen that ever happen where people are speaking in tongues?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You have some stories of that. Yeah.
I have not seen that.
It's an interesting experience to see it for the first time.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of different symbols, and you mentioned wind. Mm-hmm. It must have been in West Texas.
It's a driving wind. It's a driving. Yeah, we have.
But
a
in
lot
the
of
house,
those.
And the doors are locked, and I've been up in the upper room. Like, there's no, there's like not windows. Like, what the heck? Why is there wind inside a house?
It sounds like a driving wind, but was it actual wind?
I think it was the wind. At least in the movies, there's wind.
Yeah. Well, it has to be represented like as an outward sign, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that it filled the entire room. You mm-hmm. know, and our hearts are filled
with
the Holy Spirit.
You must have felt it, so it must have been really.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to go there. Are you sure it wasn't one of the apostles breaking wind?
Well, you never know. But this is strong for every one of them. So they're all kind of spread out. So, and they wouldn't do it in front of Our Lady, Mother Mary. Right?
Good point.
So
good point.
They're gentlemen when it comes to that.
Right. So. We won't have a flatulence joke in every video.
Just the last couple. Yeah.
But there are different symbols of the Spirit, wind mm-hmm. being one of them. Yeah. But from the Catechism, there's living water.
Right.
Well, this is scriptural, actually, mm-hmm. But referenced in the Catechism. Anointing with mm-hmm. oil.
Right.
The cloud. Imposition of laying on of hands. Yeah. and of course, the dove.
We all recognize the dove.
Not the bar of soap.
Which is cool because that's the first time in sacred scripture where we see the Holy Trinity all in one place. So the Father speaks from heaven. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Jesus is getting baptized, and then the Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. So proof that the Trinity does exist. They're all distinct, but mm-hmm. all united as one God and three divine persons. So that's a good thing to remember, Jehovah Witnesses and other religions that don't teach the Trinity. You know, you have to believe in the Trinity to be truly a Christian.
Yeah.
And when we talk about from the creed, mm-hmm. where it says is it the Apostles? No, it's the Nicene Creed, where it says the Holy Spirit proceeded from the Father
Correct.
And the Son.
Right.
Where it was, I think, some of our Orthodox
Eastern
brothers and sisters,
Orthodox.
They don't agree with the whole with the Son.
Right. They leave the Son and say just the Father.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he's a distinct person. I've heard it, one theologian say it this way, like the love between the God Father and God the Son, the love between them is so strong and so powerful that it's another person.
Yes.
And that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Which is the image of the family, right?
Yeah, that's like 18 kids that we praise God, you know, between all of us. Yeah, it's a blessing that that love of a husband and a wife can bring forth a child into the world, and what a blessing they are to the world. Yeah.
It's the invisible bond between families as well. And so that Trinitarian love is that representation, that outward sign of the Holy Spirit binding the Father and the Son and us, because even though, and Jesus said, I'll be with you till the end.
To the end.
Well, we don't physically see him, right?
Right.
So we know that he's with us in an intangible way.
In the tabernacle too.
In the tabernacle, of course, yes. But it's, so his Spirit is the glue, really, you know, the binding between us. And also going back to the scriptures, in Genesis, and so back in the beginning, the Spirit was already there. And so we've been talking about the Trinity and singling out the Holy Spirit. Where in here does it say the word Trinity? It actually doesn't, right?
Nowhere.
But the belief is clear.
It is. It's very clear on it.
All the way back to the beginning. I mean, it's not just a New Testament idea. It's from the very beginning.
God the Father, you hear about him all the time, right? They're looking for a Messiah, Jesus, and the Spirit is mentioned multiple times in the Old Testament.
Right? And so even though it's not, I'm referencing Sola Scriptura here, you know, and our Protestant brothers and sisters, say this word Trinity. They have their churches named after, you know, Trinity, and but it's not in here.
Right.
But we still believe it. And what I think, and I've always thought, the term, right? The term. But that is that that Christian bond between us all.
Yes.
Even though, and they say you have to be in a good Bible believing church, and the term Trinity is not here yet. They use that term all the time. It is. It's just an act of the Holy Spirit. You know, He's going to keep us together. But to go back to the scripture. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life.
Ruah, which is Hebrew. I love saying Ruah. The breath of life.
Which is like R-U-A-C-H.
R-U-A-H or something.
Some awesome spelling, of course. But there it is. I mean, that wind, you know, blew into the nostrils.
Picture that. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
And then, whoa, hello. There's a human being. Wow. Yeah.
See, the lungs just kind of expand.
I often wondered about it.
And he became a living being with that. So, was God right there, like physically over Adam going, so who knows?
But,
I mean, probably not. It's the Holy Spirit and his actions. And every time the Holy Spirit's mentioned, it's always action. It's always something that sets the heart on fire. And that symbol is there, right?
Yeah, the very beginning of the section of the Catechism, the Holy Spirit is the first to awaken faith in us. So when we pray, if we actually can pray devoutly or just be able to pray, it's the Holy Spirit. If this touches your heart today, anything that we say, it's the Holy Spirit. It's not us, you know? So he's the one that stirs things up. He's the one that makes us holy. Without him, we can't. You know, the Father is so cool. He creates us, gives us life. Jesus redeems us and saves us. And the Holy Spirit sets us on fire and gets us to make souls, help souls get to heaven. They all have their role and they're so important. But like we said in the beginning of the God the Father episode, this is, he's the one that's kind of forgotten. He's the one that's a mystery. So we really want to highlight on him and get you to know him. So pray specifically to the Holy Spirit and get to know him.
But he's the one that actually does the will, or he is the will of the Father,
right,
I guess you would say.
Because
the Father is the architect.
Yes.
Jesus is the carpenter.
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit is the workhorse. He's the doer.
Yes.
You know, when we evangelize, is what we're trying to do here on Rome Boys, is when we're trying to evangelize, we're planting seeds.
Yes.
We're the farmers.
Right.
Well, actually, the Holy Spirit is the farmer.
I'm farming and I'm growing.
So I can relate to this guy, this person, this spirit. I can relate to him in this aspect that we plant the seeds, but he's the one that applies the fertilizer.
Yes.
He's the one that applies the moisture and helps it to grow.
And we trust that the Lord will make it grow.
Yeah.
Amen.
He's the chemistry.
There you go.
Right. The Holy Spirit is the chemistry.
Yep.
It's interesting. We talked about in God the Father that it's, you know, God the Father, but I'm referencing Jesus here. So we pray to God, and that's simple and easy to do. And people of all faiths do that. They pray to God. And we mentioned that when you say Jesus' name, it's different. It's stirring because I think it's invoking something that's separate in Christianity.
And
which
Catholics
is,
need to do that and more.
Yes, yes, we do. So,
but if you mention the Spirit, we're thinking more Pentecostal and evangelical. Yeah. So Catholics need to talk about the Spirit too. Like, you know, what's wrong with you? Are you charismatic? No, like, you know, I'm just talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yep. Yeah, and you're invoking the Spirit, right? You're asking the Spirit to do the whatever it is that you're asking for in that prayer petition or the blessing that you're sending out. Mm-hmm. You know, in some secular terms, I've seen people say sending out good vibes or you know, you're in a, when people say, you know, if you're into that thing, praying, you know, you're sending your thoughts and prayers and it's, so it's this hoaxy thing, but it's interesting how, Christianity has that covered too. It's called the Holy Spirit and he's doing his work.
Yeah. Right. St. Gregory of Nazianzus said the Old Testament proclaimed the Father. So if you want to get to know the Father, read the Old Testament.
Can you spell that person's name for me?
Yeah, right. But the Son, more obscurely in the Old Testament, so in the New Testament, reveals the Son, so get to know Jesus through the New Testament, and give us a glimpse of the divine of the Spirit. So now we're living in the time of the Holy Spirit, the church. So Father, Old Testament, Son, New Testament, and we're living in the Holy Spirit's time. Who knows how much time we got? We talked about that in an episode. Is it going to be next year? Is it this year? But he's the one that's guiding us in this part of church history, and we need to check on him. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking a second ago, time and space is irrelevant to God, right? And
outside
so,
of time.
Yes. So the Holy Spirit can work within that. What we might think is ambiguous. He fills all that void of how do we... Jesus was here, but now he's not. But yes, he is in the Eucharist, and he is in the Holy Spirit. So it helps. The Trinity is, I mean, so genius, right? Yeah. But it just, it fills that piece of understanding of how these things can continue and how the gates of heaven will not fall.
Gates of hell, yeah.
Gates of hell will not prevail against. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that the Holy Spirit is our tour guide?
Yes,
that's a good way to put it.
He's coming from the tour guide himself.
Yeah, he's the tour guide through our this journey in life.
Yes, yes. Kind of like a guardian angel, but even higher, right? Because the Holy Spirit is like right there. Or like think of the dark path, the world, and we're trying to stay on the narrow path, and he's the lights, you know, to kind of shine, the lantern that we're walking. And Jesus is right by our side guiding us, and the Father's hand is over us. You know, they all got our back.
They're
always there. They're always there. Okay. Yeah.
So he's like the tour guide. The church is the bus.
There you go.
So we can choose to stay on the bus.
Or the boat.
Or the boat. Yeah, there you go. I've heard that term as well. That's a good one.
Through the seas and the waves.
Hopefully it's not a short bus.
Our own special bus. Oh, it's even shorter than I imagined. Yeah!
Can I say that? I don't know. But talking about outward signs or representations of the Spirit and such. And I love your analogies, Joe. Farming. School buses. And, kids don't know what school buses are these days.
No. Some are still on.
We had to, but, you know, I mentioned some of the symbols, and one of the things that we see often is the laying on of hands.
Yes.
And it's that transmission and that outward sign of that grace of the Holy Spirit. But in Matthew 20, verse 34, he was moved with pity, and Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many times, you know, that he spit in the clay, right, and smeared it in their eyes.
Yeah.
And so
the physical.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's trying to make tangible, like, you're about to receive your spirit, and you're not on the table getting surgery here.
Right.
The spirit is moving from me to you, just touching his cloak, right?
Right.
And they were healed.
Yeah.
So the spirit.
Peter's shadow, whenever Peter was walking by in the next in the book of Acts, you know, just touching the shadow, having that fall upon you was a spirit being conveyed. It was just, it's amazing.
It's cool. He's a mystery, but he's fun, man.
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah. Joe, you were going to tell us something about a donkey.
Yeah. Well, you talk about characters in the Bible where they were moved by the Holy Spirit or the Spirit was moving through them. My favorite one is in the book of Numbers. Actually, I think this is my dad's favorite. But in the book of Numbers where Balaam's donkey sees a couple of angels in front of him with swords, and he's like, I ain't moving. Wait, Balaam goes to wailing on him, saying, get moving, you know. And then the donkey just turns and starts talking to him.
Hey, donkey.
And what surprises, what surprises me is that Balaam's like, doesn't think this is a big deal. Yeah, I want you to keep going.
He keeps talking back to him.
You. He just talked to a talking donkey.
Yeah, can't heard of that before.
So this was God's will being laid out or being played through a donkey. Yeah, so
the spirit working through a donkey. What's up with that?
I find hope in that, because if God can use a donkey back then, maybe he can use another one now.
That'll do, donkey. That'll do.
Yeah, for sure. I also, if we've got a minute, I wanted to share a quick story. You talked about speaking in tongues. I was in a church.
Right, because you're a convert, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, convert to the faith. And right. So I was kind of, you know, out in the wilderness, per se, and was at church with a family member. And I had two aunts that were down at the front. I mean, it's stadium style seating, you know, and I'm way up in the far back kind of. And my aunt Mary had asked me to come down, you know, and join them. And I know they wouldn't put on an act, but they were down there, and this preacher was touching them. Actually, wasn't even touching them. His hands was over their head, and they would just fall out.
Slain in the spirit?
Yeah, slain in the spirit. And I know that might make you feel kind of awkward,
yeah,
guys.
It's crazy.
I saw it with my own eyes as a kid.
It happens.
And yeah.
Even by Catholic priests. I mean, it happens in the Catholic church.
Well, I've seen it at a healing service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A healing mass.
So
they've done that.
They just would fall back in a way that, and I watched them fall on top of chairs and pews. Nobody ever got hurt.
Yeah.
It was, and I mean, it was loud bangs and crashes, and they would just be rolling over and literally rolling and rolling and rolling, laughing as hard as I've ever seen somebody laugh. And so there was one time I went, though, I was staying with my cousins, you know, and we went to church, and it was like on a Saturday night or something. And all of a sudden, and I'm not making this up, guys, it's kind of hard to tell this story because, you know, people might think you're kooky, right?
Yeah.
But they were down there, and this preacher was calling people down, and people were going in droves, and he was just, they were all slain in the spirit and such. And my hands, I literally had a flame. They were on fire, and I'm not joking or exaggerating. And it was,
I could see it.
Yeah, it was physically there.
Holy cow.
Holy Spirit.
And it was, I have chills just telling the story. And I just wanted to ball up my fist. I was so scared. But it wasn't in a bad way. I wasn't like scared of the devil kind of a scared.
Right.
I was just, it had struck me so hard. And my hands were on fire, but they were not hot.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were hot, but not burning, I should say.
So you didn't have a fear of like, oh my gosh, a fear, but a holy fear, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fear of the Lord.
My aunt asked me on the way home that night, well, why didn't you go down? That's an amazing story. And I said, it's like a drug. I don't want something to take over my body. And she said, of course, you know, I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit was moving.
Yes.
That's what she said.
Praise God. Praise God.
It definitely changed my life.
Yeah.
So,
we need more of that in the Catholic Church, man.
Yeah.
You don't hear many stories like that. Right. I'm sure they are. There is a charismatic movement through the Catholic Church.
Right.
But you don't hear these stories.
Right.
So this was
these stories.
Shortly after 1992, I was 10 years old when I asked Jesus to come into my life.
Amen.
And it was shortly after that. So I was roughly 10 years old, 11, you know, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So a little guy.
Wow. That's awesome.
Amazing.
Cool. Thanks for letting me share the story.
It's cool to see in real life, real time, like real people having the Holy Spirit. Like in the Old Testament, we hear about Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. These guys are fired up, you know?
Yeah,
they're going
right
into situations where people hate them and they're throwing things at them and everything. I think of VeggieTales and throwing tomatoes at them. But it was a little bit more severe than that. Like one of them was like sawed in half. Like,
yeah.
You know? I mean, these guys are hardcore speaking the truth, speaking the Spirit. I think of John the Baptist. I think my favorite movie is Jesus of Nazareth. It's 6 hours and 33 minutes long. The long one that came out in like 70s or 80s. And when he comes out, John the Baptist, he is the real deal. Like,
the Lord saith, my ways are not your ways.
He's on fire. He's excited. Yeah. Repent and believe in the gospel. He's my favorite character.
Making the way, right?
He's preparing the way, and he's totally filled with the Holy Spirit. So we need to be looking at these people, the saints, you know, all the people of Scripture, John the Baptist is, to help us to have the Spirit alive in our own lives.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you think too, going back to Pentecost, how were these people the apostles and the disciples before they received the Spirit.
Right, right.
They were hiding in the upper room.
Cowards.
They were cowards. Yeah. They were running away after the crucifixion, afraid they were going to be next. Mm-hmm. And here they are. They receive the tongues of fire, and they go straight out the door and start preaching.
And isn't it cool that they're Jewish men of God, right? And they believe in the Father, and they're loyal to God the Father. They know Him. They spent 3 years with Jesus. And they personally encountered Him and came in to love Him. And then when the Spirit let them, fired them up, they became saints. And they became great martyrs. So, but see that process there, the love of the Father and knowing Him as a son or a daughter of Him, you know, and knowing Him personally. And then Jesus coming to know Him and what He did for us. And then the Spirit setting us on fire. We need all three of those to become the disciple and then become the saint that we're called.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, the Scripture continues to bring us back on the path and reminds us an ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance in God.
Saint Jerome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have all of it memorized so much, right? We think in order to be good Catholics, we have to.
Content, head knowledge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously not what we do here at Rome Boys, right? I mean,
some content here.
We got the head knowledge. Yeah. I don't know about this guy.
You have to memorize everything. I was always told a short pencil is better than a long memory. So, you know, write down your favorite Scriptures. And it is the Spirit that we must connect with and be open to and ask the Spirit to come into our home, you know, the Holy Spirit to bless our day and to guide us.
The times in my life when the Spirit has worked is, I don't know if I was so open, but I guess I left a crack open, you know, and somehow He just kind of worked His way in. I'm like, next thing I know, I'm like, where am I? Like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. And then I become a whole nother person. You know, when I went on a mission trip and I'm singing in front of 500 people, that wasn't me. I was an introvert. I wasn't into my faith. I could care less about all these churchy people. And I was up there and they're like, what the heck?
Who is that guy?
And I was transformed. I was changed. I became new. So, you know, if you give him an inch, he's going to work on you. And that's what's cool about.
I think if you were to really look at your life, because I know I've done this a few times, just kind of seeing certain decisions that I made.
Yes.
Just mundane, normal, certain
everyday
decisions that he was part of, because that led me to a different spot, or that led me to either a good decision or it was a bad decision, whatever it was. But he was always guided. You could kind of see him working through your life in that way. He's always there doing
and
that.
And especially the times when we're not necessarily connected to God or not really faithful to our faith. You know, like you see the Spirit was still working right by our side. Where he's just waiting for us to let Him in.
Right.
Open our hearts to Him.
There's lots of representations of the Holy Spirit. The burning bush, you know, it's a representation of the fire. The fig tree. Time and time again, the fig tree comes into play. Mm-hmm. But it is a question I want to ask, and I really hope that you put a comment in. What was something that happened in your life where you felt like Jesus moved, the Holy Spirit moved, you saw a miracle?
Happens every day to all of us. So share, please.
Absolutely. Yeah. Please put in the comments below any kind of stories like Chris was talking about that has led you deeper in your faith, or you could see the Holy Spirit working in your life to maybe bless others.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody can say they have, right?
Oh, yeah.
At least in small ways. And a lot of people, like, maybe not so big ways. So, you know, the catechism teaches, how do we get to know the Holy Spirit? Read the Scriptures. Learn what the Church teaches. Go to the magisterium and what our Pope and bishops teach. Attend Mass faithfully and go to the sacraments. Pray. Seek out the charisms. Get involved in your church and the ministries. Get active in an apostolate that you believe in and you're passionate about. Go on a mission trip.
What is an apostolate?
An apostolate is like a type of ministry that is bigger than that and has a bigger direction in helping the church. And then learn about the saints. Pick one of those. And we guarantee, or at least the Church says in the Catechism, that you can get to know the Holy Spirit in a deeper way. I mean, reading the lives of the saints is awesome. If you don't pray every day, try a minute today and say, Holy Spirit, I don't know nothing about you, you know, but help me to get to know you. Amen. That's a prayer, as long as it's from your heart.
Yeah. I think Joseph being led by the Spirit, either in dreams.
Gosh.
Why can't it just happen that way? Yeah. Come on. Come to me in dreams. Tell me what you wanted me to do, and I'll just do that.
What do you want? What do you want?
That would be so much simpler.
Yeah.
God bless you, Joseph.
He's a true truster, because obviously Mary at the Annunciation was filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and had Jesus, conceived Jesus, and Jesus is God, and he's obviously connected with the Holy Spirit. But for Joseph, man, he's like, help me out.
Yeah. These people were filled with the Holy Spirit, not distilled spirits.
How much does he have?
None.
That's the first one. He hadn't touched it yet.
They were active. All right. What else we got,
I'm
guys?
I'm good, guys.
Hey, we're good. All right. Yeah. Well, thank y'all for joining us for another episode of our Faith Formation videos. And we, again, like and subscribe us, help support our mission, our apostolate, to bring the gospel to the world.
Which is your mission. Yeah, we're sharing the same mission.
Join the Rome Boys mission and share our videos, like and subscribe, and I guess we'll see you next time. God bless.
God bless. We're praying for you. Amen. God bless.